Hello.
Hi.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Open.
Okay.
A little scratchy.
Okay, I think that we can start session.
Well.
Okay. We have already plenty of people here. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Vance. First, I'd like to, before starting the session, I'd like to remind you that this webinar is part of TechnoClean for Evo 2016 course within the Electronic Village Online initiative, and that our special guest today, as you can see, is Dan Stevens. Just a few words to introduce our speakers to everyone. Vance has been involved in online learning since last century as founder of movements that became very famous, Web Hats in Action. He has been also a coordinator of the Teasel Co-IS Electronic Village Online for almost 15 years and has moderated several five-week online sessions there that ranged from multi-literacy and MOOCs to Minecraft that he is talking about today. In 2010, he started a weekly webinar series called Learning Together. He teaches English as a foreign language at the United Arab Emirates College, and he leads workshops and conferences worldwide on the use of iPad technology. Thanks, Vance, for accepting our invitation today, because it's a really great pleasure to have you here for all of us. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Oh, good, the echo has gone away. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. I say that I'm Daniela Cucurullo under the Letizia's name. That's Daniela Cucurullo speaking to everyone.
Okay. So anyway, I'm talking about the convergence of Minecraft and Will. And I am getting, my voice is coming back to me into the, one problem with WizIQ is you never can test the sound before you start. Okay, you can hear. Yes, the problem is that I'm hearing myself come back. So anyway, it's okay now. Yes, it's fine now. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so anyhow, I'm one of the, I'm moderating another EVO session. And it's a EVO Minecraft MOOC. It's quite a lot of fun. It has a little bit in common with Village in that we meet there and we learn by doing. So it's just a fun course. So anyhow, I was asked to give a talk here, and I think we can find some correspondences between our sessions. Anyway, also I would like to say that my slides would be up at slideshare.net/advancef, but I don't think they're going. They're going very slowly, so I put them up there. They should be there eventually. So at some point, you'll be able to go to slideshare.net/advancef, and you can find, I always put my presentations there. So this one will be there, A Convergence of Minecraft and TechnoQuill, but it's not there now. But anyway, you can go back later if you want, and you can find all the links that you see in the slides right here. So this is a picture of taken on our server. I don't know how much you know about Minecraft. Actually, let's see, I can see people saying, one other little problem I have is I can't seem to, oh, maybe I'm just trying to make the, oh, okay, yes, I made the chat a little bit larger so I can see questions in the chat. That's a lot better. It wasn't working earlier. Okay, yes, well, Fabiana doesn't know Minecraft. Elisa has no sound. Lucia can't see anything. Okay, there are some technical problems in the audience. Is that something we need to sort out? Okay, Rosalia can see everything, that's good. Okay, yes. All right, so Fabiana has no problem. All right, okay, so, well, there's a lot of participants here, so I suppose we have a quorum. Okay, good. That's looking good. Thank you very much for your feedback. Okay, so anyhow, to tell you a little bit about Minecraft, it's a game put out by Mojang, which is a company in, I can't remember, it's in Scandinavia somewhere. And it has taken, it's a very, very popular game. It's very addictive, I should say. It's very creative. It's not free. It costs $30, less than $30, but about $30 to get us a login to Minecraft. Once you've bought the login to Minecraft, then you can download the software anywhere you like. You just go onto the Mojang site and you download it to your iPad. You can download it to your I think the iPad might be a little bit different. I'm not sure, but anyway, you can download it to a PC or you can download it on numerous devices. A Mac, it runs on a Macintosh, and so you can download it wherever you happen to be, or if you happen to be somewhere and you want to play, you can log in on that computer. So once you've paid, or if you're at a school, you can buy licenses for the students, and they can log in from any place around the school. So, but every user has to have this login. Now, another thing too, all the software is free, so if also you want to set up a server, you can do that too. You can download a server software for free, and it runs on a very small computer, so you just have to know a little bit about how to configure it. So basically, we find that it's a game where usually in a school you'll have somebody who can run a server. We've got two guys from Ohio University, Jeff Kuhn and Aaron Schwartz, who are managing our server there. And Jeff and I gave the session last year. So this is the second year we've run EVO Minecraft MOOC. So it runs in two modes. One mode is called Creative, where you have an unlimited inventory. You can learn how to build. This is in Creative mode right now, and we can tell it's in Creative mode because there are a lot of monsters around and I'm still alive. So basically, the monsters come out at night. It has a game cycle of about, it's about 25 minutes, 20 minutes, something like that, day and 20 minutes night. And the object of the game, not in creative mode you just build and you learn how to play and nothing threatens you. You see all the monsters if you want. But if you go to survival mode, now you're in a world where you have to stay alive during the day. You have to stay alive at night because the dangers are at night. The monsters come out at night. So you have to learn to build, and you have to learn to build shelter so that you can keep the monsters out at night, so that you can stay healthy and keep playing the game. If the monsters get you, you become deceased, but you also respawn in a near location. Since getting killed is part of the challenge, since it's part of the challenge, you have to, if you build a shelter, you should build a box, a chest, and put some objects in it that you can then find when you come back to the near the location. You can come back into the world and you could find things, and you keep building your inventory and you keep getting better at the game. And also when we play, people help each other, so some people build shelters and people can stay for the night. You're always getting resources and you have to get food and things like that. So basically that's what it's about. The aim of the game, that's a good question. Hi to Mariana. Mariana is one of our co-moderators in EVO Minecraft MOOC. So the aim of the game, it's a player versus game. It's not a player versus player game. In fact, the players are all trying to cooperate with each other. So it's not really a video game either. I'll try to give you a sense of it. In fact, actually, I've got a video to show you a little bit later. Jeff Kuhn says it's a toy. He calls it a toy. So it's kind of like a Lego set. It's a game in that it's something that you build with. And it looks kind of like Lego as well. So is there, are there any other questions that I can answer, or shall I just, shall I move on a little bit? And Marianne is putting some links to our previous talks here. I've got some slides about those. So anyway, getting on to the topic of what we're doing today, thinking about how Minecraft can support CLIL, which you define on your website as the teaching of a subject through a foreign language, content and language integrated learning. Because Minecraft is really a toy, it's something that you can, that people can play with. They play a lot in. They play in creatively. You can build almost anything that you can imagine. Maybe when you first start out, you can't do that, but people who are very good at it can be very creative. I can show you some examples as we go along here. But it's a toy for learning languages, and is, as illustrated, I suppose, by Marianna, who's here, and she also has a son, Philip, who is also one of our co-moderators, because he's quite good at Minecraft. But we started collaborating when we co-authored an article together. Marianna interviewed Philip about his use of language learning, how he learned languages. And when you get the slide share, you'll be able to click on that link and see that article. I'm not sure, it looks like it's kind of stalling in the upload, but anyway, I'm doing it on another computer over here. But it'll be there eventually. So this is Marianna and her son Philip, and these are some presentations that they gave, because the way Philip learns languages is he gives presentations. He's got video channels, YouTube video channels, where he interacts with his friends online. He's from Croatia, he speaks Croatian, but he can't interact with people in the Minecraft world. None of them can interact in their own language. They have to use English. So his English has gotten quite good. So Marianna interviewed Philip to try to document a little bit of what he does to learn languages. And makes a very nice article. And my contribution to it, I wrote sort of an introduction to it. I researched other people who are using it to learn languages, using Minecraft. And of course, there's a world of people not only teaching or learning languages through Minecraft, but a lot of K-12 teachers use it for a variety of subjects, math skills, architecture has some obvious affordances there. History teachers recreate historical situations. People build replicas of all kinds of things. We'll see in a moment where someone in Germany, some people in Germany, replicated their school. And you can replicate spaceships, or I teach at an aviation college. An airport would be a good topic. So anyhow, you can build things. That's how it's a toy. So once you've built things there, and then teachers can manipulate by placing objects, directing the students into where they could go to learn in this environment. So it's kind of limited only by your imagination. So anyway, they became, also in that article, which this one right here, the Smolchitz and Smolchitz, with my introduction, I interviewed I researched other people who were using Minecraft creatively. One of them was Jeff Kuhn in Ohio University. He was teaching a course on disaster management. I think it was actually a composition course, but the topic was disaster management. So he created zombie apocalypses, which the students had to manage, and they basically had things to write about once they had done that. So anyhow, I have to reveal a secret now. Minecraft actually has a hidden agenda. It's not really about Minecraft. It's about gamification. So Gamification is a very important concept in language learning, and it's different from playing games. When you play games, you might have a game that you play in your class, but gamification is when you really, where the game becomes the course. The course runs like a game. So it's hard to understand that distinction, and one way to do that is to, well, let me put it this way. I didn't really know about Minecraft, but I was very interested in it because of what I was reading about it and learning from people. All the anecdotal evidence suggested this was really something that was being used by people in their different courses, and that students, it was really engaging students, to put it that way. So just reading what Maha is saying in the chat. We'll come on to that in a minute. She's defining gamification. Okay. So go ahead, Maha. We'll use what you said here. So anyway, the EDO session lets educators experience gamification and sort of figure out what Maha is talking about in the chat right now. That is, you're in a game that looks like Minecraft, but in fact, you're in a larger game where you can meet other educators learning how their students can benefit from gamified environments. So let's see a little bit about how that might work. I think what Maha is getting at here, she says there are different definitions of gamification. One is the use of game elements in a non-game situation. Well, yes, okay. And James Paul G has, he's written quite a lot and has a lot of videos online also where he explains his, articulates how games can help people to learn. And one, I got onto James Paul G, Jim G, from Jeff Kuhn, who last year was talking, in our course last year, was talking about the little G game and the big G game. And the little G game is like Minecraft. That's the game that you're actually in there playing. In order to learn the big G game, the big G game is the social setting into which the game is played, is placed. I've got a typo there. So the big G game is actually the learning about gamification through EVO Minecraft MOOC. So EVO Minecraft MOOC is the real game we're playing. So we're playing it through the device using Minecraft as an enabler. So how do we learn about this hidden agenda gamification through Minecraft? So, and I mentioned also, I was going to say a second ago that I myself, when I started this last year, I didn't really know how to play Minecraft. I had tried, but I really didn't know that much about it. One of the reasons I didn't know much about it was I really didn't have a community I could go and learn from. So since those were two deficiencies in my professional development, I didn't have a community to play, and I didn't really know how to play, I decided I would start, organize the Electronic Village Online session where we get a lot of people together and just start playing. And that actually worked out quite well. It worked well last year, but it's even working even better this year, as we'll see. But basically, we have... one thing that Bronwyn Stuckey said when she talked to us was that there's the best teacher possibly is someone who knows just who's just learned. Someone who's just learned is in a very good position to teach others. So that's what we have going in the EVO Minecraft MOOC, is we have a lot of people who are just learning and happy to teach others. So when you interact with them, then you're constantly teaching others all the time. For example, I couldn't get over something in the a build I visited recently. Someone told me, "Oh, you just hit the space bar and W at the same time. W moves you forward. Space bar makes you jump." And someone else in the chat said, "Oh, I didn't know that either." You know, so we're always pulling each other up by bits in this way. But basically, the EVO Minecraft MOOC participants. We're modeling how we go to a Google Plus community to figure out what we have to do to play this big game of EVO Minecraft. It's EVO MC16, that's our tag. So I often use that as an abbreviation for EVO Minecraft MOOC. So they have to go to a game board. You can call it a game board, the Google Plus community page. And then once they've learned how to, what they have to do, they go, we go into the game of Minecraft and we practice. And we meet there online. We use a voice tool. We're using Adobe lately, but we use Blackboard Collaborate. Last year we used Skype. It was a little hard to organize. So, and then we graduate to survival mode. We learn how to play the game in creative mode, but then we go, we're just about to do that at this point in our session. We go to survival mode, and there, it's a little daunting for some people at first, but you learn more about gamification by learning how you cooperate with other players and how you get helped through, doing something that you didn't think you could do. You know, you can actually go into the game and survive, stay alive, and learn more about it and learn how to work with other people. That's the main thing. So the aha moment occurs when the players succeed and realize that if what they were trying to teach were, well, that is in their real lives, if what they teach in their real lives were placed in this kind of context, if you take your students, the students you're working with, and put them in a context where they're learning in this manner, it wouldn't only be engaging for them, but the learners would take learning into their own hands, which is really, really happens a lot in Minecraft. For example, there's a lady in UAE in Dubai who wanted to use Minecraft in her curriculum. She didn't know exactly how to justify it, so she said, ask my students to justify it. The students wanted to play. The students were trying to get into Minecraft. How can she use that in her curriculum? She got the students to write out how that game was going to help them meet the curriculum objectives. So the students had to become aware of what those objectives were and also to articulate how and then, of course, do what they had to do to make that game meet their curriculum. So that's a really powerful learning environment. And it's, I think with all these kinds of environments, if you talk about it too much, you'll never understand it. But once you get in and do it, that's when you start understanding. So that's the whole purpose of EVO Minecraft MOOC. There's some questions in the chat about what is gamification. And so as I'm sort of trying to explain tangentially, there's a big G game, which is EVO Minecraft MOOC. And I think maybe the next slide is going to be the game board. So yes, this is for example, this is our Google Plus page where you go to see what you're supposed to do. Now, this itself is kind of a game. You might say in the same way that Facebook was a game, anything that you go to and you have to figure out how to do it. Your mobile phone, your smartphone is kind of a game too. Who reads the manual, right? There's no manual for it. You just go and you push the buttons and you figure out what happens, and after a while it becomes intuitive. So that's what games are like. That's what Minecraft is like, that, the little game of Minecraft. But the big game of Minecraft is when you get, suppose, for example, you need to set up an online course. Then by doing that many times, you learn how to do it. So in my way to set up an online course, I'm trying to figure out now how I can make it more like a game. So this game board, people go, they're directed to go to the, when you go to EVO sessions and you find the list of EVO sessions, then you find the link for TechnoQuill or for EVO Minecraft MOOC, and you click there and you go down to the bottom of that page and it says go to this game board right here. And so you go there and you have to figure out there what you should do. So I made this graphic to sort of direct people who are having trouble figuring it out. But basically there's a syllabus there. Let me just pop over to the next page because it's kind of written down in a better... So you start at the EVO sessions page, you find EVO Minecraft MOOC, where EVO TechnoQuill is listed as well, and that points you to the community. And then you find there's a sidebar, And there's a syllabus there. That's obviously a place you should go. It's, in fact, it says start here. And then the syllabus tells you that you're going to need to enroll in the course. And then there's also an enrollment form in the sidebar. Now, you have to do that. I think we've got 190 people in our Google Plus community, but we only have about 35 people who have filled in the enrollment form. And so the others are not really participating because unless they're just participating by learning, talking about Minecraft, because in order to play with us on the server, you have to fill in the form, so you give us your Minecraft username so that we can whitelist you on the server. So we've got a couple dozen people who have done that. So that's out of the 35 who filled in the form. And then the way we run the course is I got this idea from Shelley Terrell. She's telling us we should call for her kids that she teaches, she calls the goal, the things they have to do, the tasks, missions. It sounds a lot better than, sounds less like work than. So anyway, and we accomplish missions. So there are missions accomplished each week. You have things to do, missions to accomplish. And here's, I eventually made it, I had them in the syllabus, but I found it was a little bit difficult to navigate. I thought it was anyway. And so I made a wiki for that, and I made the links for the missions in the syllabus point to the wiki. And so you go to a missions page for the wiki, in the wiki, and then you click on week 1, week 2, week 3, etc. And that takes you to the different pages for each of the weeks. The weeks are patterned after... Is there a bond between ER and Minecraft? I'm reading, what is ER? A bond between ER and Minecraft. Okay. Do we have to play the game? What is ER? Is there a bond between ER? If you want to learn a game, you have to play it. Extensive reading. Oh, I see. Oh. Well, no. Except that there are... There are books about Minecraft that are very popular with students. In fact, one of my examples in the article that Mariana and Philip wrote, these are books, by the way, these are books about Minecraft. Now, this one, the Green Book, is an easy book. And it's a... Not a difficult book to read. It's got a bit of text, but it's not. It's got a lot of pictures about Minecraft. Now, there is somebody in who's living in Turkey, teaching at a school there. He was teaching. In the school, he's an expat, he's a British fellow. His son was teaching, taking in the school in a lower grade that he was teaching. And he was, his son was very into Minecraft, and so were his students. And the students were reading about Minecraft in Turkish. And they were reading, in fact, the Turkish version of this book, the Easy Book. And he wanted to get one for his son, but he couldn't find one in English. So he went around Istanbul and found, or where he's living, and found a bookshop that had this book, and had this book in English. It also had this book in English, which is the Red Book, which is the next level. So he bought them both for his son, and his son took them back to the school and showed it to his friends. And they all wanted, that Red Book was not available in Turkish. So they found the bookstore, and they've got the book, and they started reading it, you know. So, just like you would imagine, they started reading. He noticed that the people in his class, he's teaching them English, they didn't really normally read, but they would read this book. So I guess that's a relationship between reading and Minecraft. So there's a lot of communication aspects. as Philip learned a lot of English, possibly through reading and studying other people's English guidelines on YouTube and other places, these students just happened to want to read this book. They were very motivated to do so. So anyhow, back to the way the course is constructed. Yes, okay. Well, okay, and Marianne is talking, she's one of the moderators, she can talk to you in the text chat. Okay, so when people accomplish their missions, when our participants accomplish their missions, we have a form for them. That's another thing they have to fill out, and they have to discover, they have to learn how, they have to figure out how to do this. I'm just noticing that we're not having to tell people what they have to do, that they're, when they're going into the links we've set up for them, they are discovering on their own what to do. So this is the state of play today from our missions accomplished spreadsheet. What I asked them to do was, when they accomplished a mission, because I don't want to keep track of it myself, I want them to go to this Google Doc spreadsheet. That's one of the missions, is to get into the Google Doc. So if they successfully do that, then they can enter their missions and get a badge. They're looking for badges. And also for their own knowledge. Now, this document has to be viewable by anyone, because it's going to be evidence of their accomplishment. If we award them a badge, the badge has to have some credibility. The badge will point back to this document, and people can look in the document and see what the person did to earn the badge. But not only just what they did, but they'll click on the link that proves the person did the thing, the mission that's accomplished. Okay, thank you, Stella, for the Minecraft tutorials of Minecraft and education. When you Google, you can learn how to play Minecraft quite easily, because people are leaving tutorials online all the time. It's a very rich environment. That's one of the nice things about it. For all kinds of learning, you can, if you're stuck, you just go to YouTube and search there, or Google it, and you can always find answers to your problem. The server, my co-moderators made me an administrator of the server this year, and I'm finding that if I need to do something, I can just Google it and find out how to put the commands into the server. So it's and of course Philip knows much more about that than I do. So anyway, here are the missions that people are supposed to do. We added one mission. There were 10. We added one because one of our participants decided to ask if she should make a resource document, and I said, sure, we'll make that one of the missions, contribute to the document. So we can be flexible in our missions. But basically, I don't know if I mentioned, but I was about to tell you, when someone asked a question in the chat, that our session is patterned on 5 stages of coping with MOOCs, which Dave Cormier, one of the person who coined the term MOOC, by the way, he made a very interesting short little video about these 5 stages of coping with MOOCs. He said, first of all, you have to orient. Then orient means you orient yourself in the space, and then you start talking to other people, and you tell them who you are, you introduce yourself, and then you start networking with other people, or you find out what's in the wider network. And if that network, in a MOOC, especially your MOOC, for example, in the TechnoQuill MOOC, you've got thousands of people there, so you're not all really interacting together. You tend to cluster. About this stage, you'll start to cluster. You'll form little groups of people, focus groups working with each other, and then the last stage, actually focus, means that now you're going to take away from this MOOC. You've met people. The most important thing that you're doing in your MOOC right now is you're meeting people. It could be only 5 or 10 people, or fewer, even 1 or 2 people. But you're going to make some. You're going to know, find somebody who you're going to be able to work with, and that's the focus part. So, in our Minecraft MOOC, our first 2 weeks were to let people figure out what are they doing there. And the missions were quite simple. Introduce yourself on the community, on the Google Plus community. install the VoIP tool we're going to use, fill in the registration form, which I just showed you, write a blog post, tag it so that it gets up on our tag board, so we have a way of aggregating tags. We use tag board. Join our missions accomplished Google Sheet that I was just showing you, and join us in Minecraft Creative Mode. So there's five of, that's half the missions right there in the first 2 weeks. And then in the second week, the third week, it's networking, and you should explore networks in Minecraft. We had a list of them, and actually we found that in that week, which we just passed, people started networking with each other. We're actually learning about the networks of the participants, so that was kind of a surprise. I hadn't really anticipated that, but that worked really well. It was very productive. And then as we move into this week, we're going to cluster. Well, as I mentioned, we're going to move the server into survival mode. So we'll have people reflect on their experiences. My own reflection is that, as I was telling you, that I've learned that gamification makes you reliant on people you're working with. The last one was the one that one of our participants mentioned, contribute to a crowded sourced document of resources, which she set up. Hi, Anna. How are you? Okay, so anyway, that's basically how our course is set up. Mariana was mentioning earlier that Brian Stuckey gave a very nice talk, which I have links to those talks. Just like your talks, our talks are recorded, and we have people presenting on... in the first two presenters that I'm mentioning right here, Jeff Quinn and Brian Stuckey, both gave a wealth of projects that other people were doing. If you want to know how Minecraft is being used, these two talks are very informative. I guess I don't need to go into too much detail about them, but if you want specifics, you can look in the article by Mariana and Philip with my introduction, and you could go to these two resources, Jeff Kuhn's talk, Brian Stuckey's talk. Brian Stuckey is well known in virtual worlds. She did research in social networking, PhD research. And anyway, there's a link to our first two talks in our first 2 weeks. And then last week, we sort of had, this was one of our participants, his name is Thorsten Gross, and he showed us the school, the video of a school that his students built, their school. And so this link takes you to the tour that his students took us on this last Sunday. And I took a couple of shots of it. There's an aerial view. In that blog post there, when you get the slides and you manage to go to the link, and we'll make sure you get the slides, it's really stuck on the upload. I'm not sure what's going on there. But anyway, that link takes you to the post where it describes as many, has a MP3 of the conversation, which was done in Adobe Connect. And it has also a Camtasia video screen. In fact, actually, this is how I did it. That's Adobe Connect running in the background, and I put the Minecraft window over the presentation window in Adobe Connect, and we just did screen sharing there. So the video shows the tour of the campus. So that was one way we utilize our participants. As another participant who's got this amazing roller coaster. Actually, he's just gone wild building on our server. I'm going to show you a video in a second. It's a 4-minute video. So he's built a lot of things on our server. Our server, by the way, in creative mode is a flat map. That means it's a space where you can build things, and you have unlimited resources in creative world, so you can really be creative. So let me show you his roller coaster. So here we're going to start out. I don't know what you can see. Let's see, when I play it, please insert a correct YouTube URL link. What is going on? Oh, here, maybe? Ah! Oh, no. There we go. I think I got it. I didn't know how this works. Something is happening here. Are you... And it's kind of swimming over here. What are you seeing? Now it's playing on my end. Is anything playing at your end? Okay, good. Okay, so what you have here, this is a place that Museu built, and those are the coordinates, in case you needed to find them later. The video seems to stop. Okay, no. Now he's going, he's flying, but he's coming down to a subway station he built, or a metro station, or a train station. And in the train station, you can see the trains. He's going to get in one, and he's going to ride to the place where he built the roller coaster. So, I'm not sure where he built it, but he's taking the train to that place. So, he's, can you see that okay? I could give you the link. How am I going to do that? I'll try. Let's see. I don't have this link handy, but I will get it in a second. It is here. Is it still playing for you? Yeah, in a way it is kind of like Second Life, except the difference between this here, I found this link. Okay, so let's see. I'm going to have to start it here in order to... Okay, in order to get it here, open it in YouTube. Where are you now? I can't see what I'm doing because I'm trying to get it on YouTube. Okay, here we go. Finally I got it up on YouTube. Now we're going to share at my end. Now I'm copying the link. Okay, I can hear it in here, but now I'm pasting it. This is what we're watching. Okay. It seems like it's playing over again. I'm not sure. What is it doing? It looks to me like it's being repetitive. You're on the train. Okay. No, it's a world. You build the world, and eventually the train will reach its destination. Maybe it stopped when I was off into another browser. I haven't done that. A very long train ride. Now, in order to build this, he has to dig a ditch, and then he has to lay track on the ditch, and then he covers it up, and he puts also lights, which are powered by redstone. Yeah, started over again. Okay, no problem. Sorry about that. I think it's because somebody asked me for the link, and so I had to go into a browser and try it. Now here, he's got some questions, and you have to answer the questions correctly. There are three questions. And if you answer the questions correctly, it opens another door. So he's built a little logic gate there, and as you can see, Minecraft has capabilities for doing logic, programming, scripting. Someone built a cell phone, and that opened the door. His logic gate opened the door, and now he's got his, he's just pressed a button, but he's realized he sees the door is closed at the other end because he didn't actually hit the button. He has to open that door. There he goes. Now he's opened the door at the other end, and he goes through and into the roller coaster that he built. So it's kind of fun riding this roller coaster. A bunch of us met there. Can you see the roller coaster okay? Are you on the roller coaster? Yes, wonderful, okay. You'll notice as he gets to the top of the roller coaster that he has a glass ceiling up there. We're not there yet. Here it is, that glass ceiling overhead. A bunch of us were in there playing around, and if you want to press a button, you have to right-click. If you want to break something or attack something, you do a left-click. It's very easy for people to get confused. And we were playing in this building and riding this roller coaster. Now here, his cart falls down the shaft. Now he's flying up the shaft so he can show you what he's built here. Oh, what happened? Still playing? For some reason, it... Okay, yes, it's still playing. Okay. Oh, okay. I'm sorry, can't see anything. I do have the link here. Okay, this is the link that we're looking at. Okay, that glass at the top, we were playing in here, and somebody hit the rail and broke a rail. It broke something, and the cart wouldn't run. It wouldn't, and we got stuck in here. We didn't know how to find our way out. So we had to fly up and break the glass at the top. Now here again, what are you doing here? You know, Second Life was mentioned. That's a space that educators go into and just figure out what to do. I think this is a little bit different from Second Life because, as you can see, first of all, the big difference is anybody can create in this space. Second Life, you sort of have to have special skills in order to create. But here, anybody can create. And in fact, Mercea has come to our world, our server, and set up all these things. Now this is him building it. I've met him there as he was putting it together. Here you can see his three logic gates. He's putting that up. Now his roller coaster is going through a door somewhere. I'm not sure exactly. You know, how would he have this into... Yeah, in Second Life, no one can break anybody's buildings, Baha says. True. But you can... Mercea sets his things up where... not in our server, but in his server, he sets things up where people can't break things. So this is his world in the next slide. Okay, yeah, did Antonietta enjoy the video? So the slide is not, yeah, you can set up a permission system, that's right, yes. You can protect your build. When you've built it, you can protect it. Somebody asked, well, we're waiting for the slide to advance. At least I'm waiting. There we go. There's Mercea's world. And then he took me over to his server. He showed me what he's building over there. So what you're doing, somebody just asked a moment ago, what benefit are you getting from this? As I said, Minecraft is attractive and addictive. So is Second Life, for example. But that's the little g game. The big g game is where you're trying to learn that thing that someone just asked about. In this case, it's learning how does gamification work? Why is this effective? Why does Jim G say that using games is an effective way of working? You can go and you can Google him on YouTube, or you can put in James Paul G or Jim G on YouTube, and you'll find that he will explain quite nicely how this is beneficial, how this really, for example, he cites research that says that children, when they act out something, they learn it better than if they're just told to imagine it or something like that. So it actually experiencing things helps you to learn. And by building what you want, by setting what you want people to learn into a game like this, in my case, and I'm trying to learn, what is this thing gamification? What is it about? How can I define this? You know, so, and also I meet, just like you're meeting in TechnoQuill, I meet other educators in this space, and, you know, we learn, we're debating here, is are games useful? Is using games beneficial? Well, when you go into the game, you can figure out through your experience and what happens to you, you can learn more about why it's useful. So, that's the big G game of Minecraft. Here in the little G game, I've got about 10 more slides, and they're pretty much all have pictures on them. This is the flat map when it started out. This is some things that people built, and that big building there, that's the top of the castle you see there. Jeff Kuhn built that, he works pretty quickly too. You'd be surprised how quickly you can build things in Minecraft if you know what you're doing. I'm really surprised because I'm not that good at it. But anyway, these are just some things that people built. Some of our participants have been building quite a lot in the game. This is Kathleen Kearney. She built a house with a garden. She posted a blog about it. At the end of the, I've got a blog called advancededucation.blogspot.com, and that link will be at the end. And like I say, I'm really so sorry that I can't actually direct you to the slides, but I will fix that. You'll be able to go to slideshare.net/vances, and you'll be able to get all the links. But all these people's, all our participant links are, their blog posts are given in my blog post. Their blog posts were, for example, Beth Evans wrote about prepping for survival and showed us pictures of what she's done. And that was one of the things for the, that was one of the missions to be accomplished to get a badge. Yes. Maha is explaining very well that Minecraft is a sandbox game. That's right. No specific lesson. There is a specific lesson. Well, here again, it's ineffable. Ineffable means that it's something you can't understand until you experience it. Well, you can write about it if you're very articulate and cite research like Jim G does, or try to explain through examples. I don't know if I'm articulate myself, but here's another, this lady is a librarian. She wrote an interesting post once. She said that she gives a lot of, this is VSTC, this VSTC Minecraft Mondays. She invited us to her server as well, and this is an event she set for that. And a few days ago, I just went there to meet with what she was doing. But she says that she works with a lot of teachers, and she notices that she can tell them about Minecraft, but people don't really give themselves the time to play, which is, of course, you know, that's what we all do. We feel a little bit guilty about playing games. So, you know, until you really let yourself go into the environment, and, you see what you can do with it, you become an artist. It's hard to understand how art works until you try or you experience it. So anyway, this is what Beth O'Connell built. Ellen Clegg, another of our participants, built a house. So all these things are on our build. We're all just fascinated by what we're doing. My son was here for Christmas, and we made a little swimming pool and a hot tub. A hot tub is liquid lava. And actually, I have to admit that Dusty did most of that, kind of like Mariana and Philip. Speaking of Philip, Philip is famous for populating all our builds with rabbits. Here it says, warning, evil rabbits inside. So that's, Philip's got a good sense of humor. He's a fun co-moderator. And Aaron is another of our moderators. Aaron is somebody similar to Masaya who knows how to script and how to make things work in Minecraft, and he's built here a zombie pit. And if you fly up and come down inside this pit, you can find switches that when you press them, they can give you armor, they can give you a diamond sword, things like that. They also, there's the little train tracks. When you press certain buttons, then zombies appear on the trains. The cart appears, and zombies appear on the trains, and they come out, and you can kill them with your diamond sword. You have to know how to do that when you actually play in survival mode. So we're not yet in the EVO session into survival. I think we're going to go there tomorrow, but survival is very important because it helps us understand more about gamification. So when you enter survival mode, you find that you get a lot of help from others. Especially Jeff is really very good at going around and building shelters and putting signs on them. It says, you know, it's getting dark, come in here. You can go in there and close the door, and then he might even be there, or other people might be there, and you can learn from them. A day and a night takes just 20 minutes in Minecraft. So when you're in a shelter, you can dig in underground, you can find resources. So, so what is gamification? What I'm learning, my definition is that it's learning through teamwork, mutual support, meeting challenges, and achieving your goal, whatever that is. So this is the interesting thing about this toy. It's not something that has a set goal or a set prescribed curriculum. It's your goal. You can use it and find that you'll meet your goal if you have a goal in mind. And if you happen to be with other people with similar goals, then you'll further your goals. Same way if you go to Second Life. It may not be so important what you do there, but you'll probably meet other professionals there and you'll network. The Big G game. Why is EVO Minecraft MOOC a game? The Big G game of Minecraft MOOC has some rules. The rules are flexible. It has some goals, you know, these missions you have to accomplish. Challenges, definitely has challenges, and awards in the form of badges. And participants, as I've shown you, have to figure out these rules. So the game is designed, that little game board I made with the Google Plus community, that it's designed to get people to figure it out. So we've set up things and directions pointing to other things, and then we're finding that the participants who are participating are actually filling in the areas that they're supposed to be filling in. The missions are filling up, and people are doing what they've been asked to do. So they have to figure out the rules, but we've tried to design the game in order to encourage them or to enable them to figure them out. But very importantly, as in any game, it's more fun if it doesn't play out the way anyone has especially anticipated. That's very important, that the game shouldn't be predictable. It has to be interesting toward the end. So in this game, you set your own goals, and by achieving these goals in the game, light bulbs go off in your head and light your way to some realization of how what you're learning in Minecraft might work to meet your real world challenges with your own students. That, I think, is the lesson of gamification. It's very hard to set up gamified environments in your courses that are truly gamified, but once you experience one, then you're a little bit better able to do that. So, that's me. I think that's game must not be predictable. Very good, Yulia. Okay, so anyway, once again, you can get my slides at slideshare.net/danceS, and they're not there now because they're just not uploading. I tried them on two computers. I'm not sure my internet connection is something, but they'll be there. This doesn't happen time after time. And that's the address of my blog also, advanceeducation.blogspot.com, actually. And that link is to the latest post, the one that I wrote to prepare this talk. So thank you very much. This game is over, yes.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to remind everyone that this web is recorded and that I will share the link on the Moodle platform and Facebook group together with the slides presented together. And really I want to like to thank the fans for this inspiring webinar full of ideas, resources and materials, and for giving us such a clear definition of gamification and for introducing us to a wonderful world of Minecraft. Thank you very much, Francis. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today.
To the audience. Thank you very much.